A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to our good community-minded partners at Horicon Bank. The Upswing, where we talk about the business of everyday life here in greater Milwaukee, across the great state of Wisconsin. Today's show is a full plate for sure. New spots from familiar names. How rising gas prices are changing our habits. What happens when a grocery store's bar, a bar at a grocery store, it goes away. What happens? The search for the perfect neighborhood sandwich. How to actually decide who you're going to vote for governor this August. Why America's 250th birthday matters in our communities. A quick dive into tech and talent. And a visit from one of Milwaukee's most recognizable names. Our very own Sandy Max will join us at the end of the show. But as we do at the beginning of each show, we're going to go two up.
Now it's time for the two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business world and the community world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. New from Ninos. So let me just frame this for you a little bit here. Years ago, I did an interview with Bucks legend, analyst, and host of the Bucks Plus podcast, The Here District, that he does with his son, Chris. Yes, the one and only Marcus Johnson. So I'm talking to Marcus about basketball and a bunch of different things. And I asked him, Marcus, what's your favorite restaurant in Milwaukee? And he quickly said, Ninos. Have you been to Ninos? I'm like, yeah, it's like seriously blocks away from my house. So we had this whole Ninos conversation. It's owned by B&J Holding Company, which is founded and owned by siblings Valerie Daniels Carter and John Daniels Jr., two community icons in their own right, just like Marcus. Anyways, set it up here. The news here is that there's a second location for Ninos, now open on Port Washington Road in Fox Point's River Point Shopping Center. The space was formerly occupied, you got to go way back, this place called Cosi. Remember that? It was a New York-based like a salad chain. It closed, I think, in like 2019. The new Ninos in Fox Point, way bigger than the location in Shorewood. A ton of seating. It's open daily from 11 to 8 p.m. The menu, very similar, though, and always super good. Southern-inspired sides, mac and cheese, collard greens, okra, cabbage, pinto beans, black-eyed peas, mashed potatoes. The service is always wonderful. Wonderful crushed ice, too. They do crushed ice in their fountain drinks, which makes them taste even better and pairs really well with the fried chicken. So a second location for Nino's Southern Sides. Check it out in Fox Point. Next up, watch those gas prices and tap that phone. How are the two related? Well, I'm seeing most gas prices now around the area at about, what are you seeing, $3.80 a gallon about. I'm also sensing some changing in the habits that we're doing in terms of our daily shopping runs, right? Change is coming to how we're running around, how we're spending our time, how we're spending our money. It's also coming to how we're going to pay for that next bus ride. Higher gas prices are changing our habits for sure. People are consolidating trips, maybe making fewer outings, packing more into each drive, from errands to the kids' activities to wherever you're going out to eat. It means maybe fewer spontaneous stops at local shops and more pressure then on that optional social spending. So keep an eye on that for sure. But also keep an eye on when you get on the bus the next time on MCTS. They finally implemented pay your fare instantly with a contactless credit or debit card, a smartphone, a smart device. All you got to do is just tap and ride. Yes, I never have a card on me. I never have cash. And I don't buy the bus pass. I'm sorry. But so this makes it so much easier and even better. bigger picture, we're about collaboration and connection here on the upswing. Wisco Public Transit, all the agency partners, we're talking Appleton, we're talking Beloit, Oshkosh, Racine, Waukesha, they're going to have the opportunity to tap into this new system too, to enhance their systems and introduce this modern payment option. Board in the bus, faster, easier, no app, no cash required. Amen to that for sure. It's way overdue. It's so great. You can pay with a device, just tap the phone and go. Now that that's done, though, my other suggestion for the good people at MCTS, the Green Line, why aren't all the Green Line buses green? Just make them all green. Paint them green. Put a wrap around them. Make them green. It's so easy. It's a great line. It gets you from here to there. I want the Green Line to be all green buses. I know there's some logistics there, but it's easy and it's logical. And now that I can pay without the green, just tap my phone. Let's make the Green Line buses green. Coming up next, closing time for bars and area grocery stores. It's next on The Upswing.
Closing time. Time for you to go out to the places you will be from.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Is it closing time for bars and grocery stores? So let me set up this story, if you will, for you. In 2016, Kroger opened one of its brand new two-story Metro Market grocery stores in the Village of Shorewood. It has since followed with others around the area, Wauwatosa, Glendale, other communities. They're really nice stores. I really like them. The brand Metro Market came through Kroger's acquisition of Roundy's and has expanded now to a 23-location footprint all across the state of Wisconsin, including the ones that I just mentioned. Back to Shorewood, though. When it opened, I had a couple ideas right away. I posted a story when I was still at iMilwaukee.com. You can probably search for it and find it. I wanted some things in this space, a big two-story grocery store. I wanted prepared foods, a cafe area. I really wanted it to have that third space vibe with seating where people can meet and linger. I wanted to lean into local products and local brands and really have that storytelling around the merchandising and signage, which this store has really done actually really well, which I truly appreciated. I wanted good wayfinding and a good layout. I wanted those thoughtful local demographic touches, and I wanted to treat the store not like, you know, these are just my ideas, but I'm passionate around grocery stores. I wanted the store to be treated like a Village Main Street anchor, not just another chain location. Now, a lot of these changes in the last 10 years have happened. It's great. I had the owner of Greeby's on the show recently. They added a donut pop-up there. You walk past, the Starbucks is there, the signage is beautiful, there's local photography in there. It's really, really cool. But I'm walking past there on Easter Sunday, and I peer in the window, and I see where a bar used to be, a nice bar, beautiful televisions, a ton of seating. It was gone, all cleared away. Goodbye, see ya, gone. Of course, I took a couple photos, went right to my ex account. Turn to social media first, of course, Jeff, but posted a photo of the bar that is now gone. And I look at the numbers now. It's a little interesting. 600,000 plus views and comments from like all over the country. Seems like people really like bars in grocery stores. A lot of passion around this topic for sure. So it just made me think, you know, why did the bar close? Was the bar removal part of an internal business decision at Kroger? Is there a detailed rationale from it? You know, what's the thought process here and what's going to replace it? So I did some digging. I asked some people inside the store. I got some general answers, but I wanted to go right to the top. So we called Emily Williamson, the head communications and public affairs director at Metro Market and Pick and Save here. Emily joins us on the phone. Emily, that's a long-winded introduction, but talk to us about bars and grocery stores. What was the primary factor that led to the removal of this bar in Shorewood?
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for giving me a call so that we could chat through this and what really exciting things are coming for Shorewood. We're really excited. The Metro Market Shorewood location is a fantastic store location. As you mentioned, it's two-story. We have a lot of amenities in that space. You hit on it, the Greebies that we recently installed. We have so many local offerings throughout the store. We've got Jose Andreas food, a fantastic global section, a lot of really
I love those potato
amenities.
Chips, just as a sad, as a side. I they're like, oh my gosh, they're so good. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. Have you tried any of the frozen appetizers?
I haven't, though. I've seen the stand. It's on the list. The next time I shop there, I'm for sure picking it up.
Yes, we have amazing offerings and amenities in the store. And really what we're doing is we're utilizing the space that was the bar area, which is going to give us the option to expand product selection, offerings, and variety in our adult beverage department. So we're going to be moving that from the second floor into the first floor, giving our shoppers more variety in the offerings that they're looking for, the beer, the spirits, the wines, and we're going to be expanded and offering more global wines in that space. So giving our shoppers more of what they're looking for. So as the shopping needs and interests continue to evolve, we are committed to, you know, staying on top of that and trying to continue to innovate and be on top of all of these trends and offerings so that we're there to meet the shoppers' needs where they are and when they're ready for them, and engage with us in all of these different spaces.
So, Emily, is this something you're doing at other Metro Market locations, too? I heard possibly the Wauwatosa Bar was going away. Like the other 23 locations across the state, how many of those have, like, the community bar concepts?
So we continue to evolve the shopping experience. So this is an ongoing thing for us. You'll see remodels happening throughout the year. We just recently, a few months ago, our Metro Market Stevens Point location, we added a bar in that space. So there's now Beer on Tap While You Shop, as well as Starbucks up there. And you can engage in each store. We try to provide offerings and amenities that make a best fit for that market and for that neighborhood and for that community, and making sure that we're offering and providing those needs and meeting those needs. And the offerings fit to each of the markets that we serve. So trying to have that expansion and product offerings and uniqueness for each of our stores.
So did you gather input from the Shorewood customers or neighborhood stakeholders beforehand? Or how do you decide Stevens Point, Shorewood, Wauwatosa? Where does that data come from?
So there's a whole group of people that are much smarter than me who are making those decisions. I get the amazing job of being able to celebrate and participate. So when we last weekend, we were able to celebrate at our Stevens Point Metro Market. We brought in Stevens Point Brewery for some sampling ahead of National Beer Day, which is actually was earlier this week on April 7th. So a lot of fun ways to continue to evolve and utilizing the information we have from trends and things to make decisions that are going to be the best fit and the right in those markets and for those stores and those shoppers.
Are there any other plans to introduce new ways at the stores where the bar is going away to serve as that community third space now that the bar is gone? Or is that just a focus and a shift away from the model in those markets?
So the way people are shopping continues to evolve. And, you know, we've got a lot of shoppers who are utilizing our e-commerce offerings. So there's a lot more shopping, not necessarily, we have a lot of shoppers in store, but we have a lot of shoppers who are also saying, I'd like you to just bring it out to my car. So we've got, that is an option. We've got home delivery and doing that through Instacart so that it's very rapid and we can get that to your front step quickly and at the time that you want it. So that shopping experience continues to evolve, and how people are looking at the spaces within the grocery store continues to evolve, and being able to meet those needs and offer more varieties, more amenities. You'll see a lot of really fun things. We talked earlier last year already about the growing evolution of protein and the protein in foods and through our private label offering. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of ways that we're continuing to evolve. And that shopping experience continues to evolve, and we're working to make sure that we're meeting that need.
So bottom line, the bars in a couple key locations being replaced, if you will, by expanded beer and liquor departments, will you still be able to buy a single serve and walk around in grocery shop?
So you're going to have to follow the laws of the space. So you know,
I always do. I always do.
Walking around with open containers. But, you know, we're continuing to make sure that we've got offerings that are meeting the needs. You mentioned our Wauwatosa store location. So I just want to highlight that we did quite a few renovations on that last year and added a Greeby's kiosk in that space as well, as well as some more of those global food offerings and the Jose Andreas. So continuing to explore curiosity of the shoppers and provide some of those really fun, nuanced offerings that you'll only find at Metro Market.
Very good. Curiosity. Creativity. That's what it's all about. Appreciate your time, Emily. Good luck with all the future innovations at Metro Market.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me. Look forward to seeing you back in the store when the remodel is complete.
Very good. Thank you. Now, I know when you look at bars and grocery shops that, hey, Jeff, come on, there's more bigger things going on in life than just bars and grocery shops. But it's something that kind of added that fun, creative touch to the shopping experience. The Sendex out at the corners in Brookfield has a nice bar. The Whole Foods on Milwaukee's East Side has a pretty lively bar, too. But don't get me started on how they replaced the cafe with an Amazon exchange center. That's kind of ruined the vibe a little bit there. It's convenient. It's really well run. But it changes the shopping vibe. So I appreciate Emily coming on. It really made me think, you know, were bar and beers in grocery shops just a gimmick or maybe a passing fad? I don't know. Obviously, it's pretty inherent as to who we are as a Wisconsin people and Wisconsin shoppers. So we'll see how it all pans out, if you will. No matter what, I do like the Metro Market stores. I liked, and I'll probably miss the occasional pop in to catch the score of the game or to see friends at the grocery store bar. But I also realize nothing constant but change. Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. I'm not telling you how to vote, but let me tell you maybe how to decide. I was really excited this past Tuesday for our 18-year-old son to cast his first vote in the election. Always a festive time, right? We all had the chance to vote for school board or elected officials, of course, you know, like trustees in our own villages. Of course, we had the state Supreme Court race as well. I encouraged our son to get to know the candidates as best as he could. And that's pretty easy on a local level. But let me expand on that a bit. That is my personal rule, which I want to say plainly, I do my best to only vote for candidates that I actually know, not that I know of, but that I have seen, heard from directly, or had a real reaction with. You look at the latest Marquette Law School poll, more than half of registered voters say they haven't decided on a candidate for governor, which is going to be the next election, governor for the great state of Wisconsin. For Republicans, 54%, and for the Democratic primary, 65%. Saying they're undecided on who they want to vote for in the primary for Wisconsin governor. The primary, of course, is August 11th with the general election on November 3rd. So this year, we get to choose who is leading Wisconsin next. I can go through all the candidates on both sides. On the Democratic side, there's a deep bench for sure. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, former State Administration Secretary and Greater Milwaukee Committee Head Joel Brennan, State Representative Francisca Hong, Missy Hughes from WEDC most recently, Kelda Royce, several others. On the Republican side, mainly Congressman Tom Tiffany is the clear front runner for now, along with a smaller field around him. Again, I don't want to tell you who to vote for. I want to tell you how to decide who to vote for. Before I fill in that little bubble next to anyone's name for governor, I want to have looked them in the eye, ask them at least one question, maybe watch them ask a bunch of questions, maybe on shows here at WTMJ, in a setting that isn't totally scripted. That should be your compass too. Could be a small event, could be a forum, could be a neighborhood stop, could be a sit down for a cup of coffee, if that's possible. You can email, you can contact the candidates and ask them to sit down with you. Why not? They're people. just like us. That's my recommendation. We're just past an election. This other one coming in August. Find a way to actually meet the candidates. This could look like a few different things. Groups like the League of Women Voters, local civic organizations around Wisconsin do a great job of hosting meetings, putting candidates from both parties on the same stage to answer questions. There'll be a lot of opportunities to say hi, to look candidates in the eye, and to find out, all right, what are you all about? Let me ask a question. Let me see how you react. Take that filter. Take that PR spin away. Ask who has actually negotiated the big deals, who understands local government, who has a real plan for schools and housing and public safety and shared revenue. The glossy mailers aren't going to answer all those questions for you. People do. So whatever your politics, I'm going to come back to this simple idea. Don't hand your vote over to a stranger, all right? And I get it. It is very tough to do this sometimes, especially in national elections. But don't you want to know those that represent you? Put it on your list. Get to know the candidates for governor. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Speaking of politics, let's talk a little bit about America's 250th. I want to keep politics out of the 250th celebrations this summer. America's 250th birthday is coming, and somehow even a birthday party could feel like a political fight, right? That's going to be the tightrope we're going to walk this summer. How do you mark this huge national milestone without instantly sorting ourselves into red, blue, or, you know what, I'm just going to sit this one out? For brands and institutions, I think the stakes are going to be pretty high and real. Like, America 250 is set up, of course, as a nonpartisan event, an effort. But in 2026, it's hard to have one that is neutral and is that symbolic in the public square. Every logo, every hashtag, and the sponsorship that is tied to it possibly could run the risk of being read as taking a side. And I want to do our best as a community to be cautious around that and do the right thing. Here in Milwaukee, we're not just observers to the 250th. You know, summertime is a place to gather. It is our time to shine here in Milwaukee. We are on the main stage. Summerfest has been named as one of the first official America's Block Party hosts, an anchor site for the largest synchronized July 3rd and 4th celebration in U.S. history. That's amazing. So on the 4th, the festival grounds here in Milwaukee, along beautiful Lake Michigan, are going to double as an America 250 Block Party, full day of live music, national live stream that connects our lakefront to Times Square, to Los Angeles and beyond. You got Jelly Roll, you got Sam Barber, you got the Temper Trap, you got our local Bodine's, Soul Asylum, many more. It isn't just a local lineup, it is a celebration of national energy right here locally. It's our country soundtrack for the 250th. So how do we keep politics out of all this? I'm not sure we totally can, but maybe we shouldn't even try in the usual sense. A better question is, I think, how do we keep partisanship from hijacking it? One answer is to lean into the values of slogan. Summerfest is already about accessibility, about shared experience, about that simple joy of watching a band with strangers on a summer night. Tie that to the 250th, to giving back, to local stories, to the idea that our country is truly the best as a giant block party where everybody gets an invite. That's why we love Summerfest, right? That's what Summerfest is all about. So this is an opportunity for Milwaukee to shine, for any brand that touches the moment to be a real model in mature patriotism. That's what I want the 250th to look like. And I think that's what's going to happen. I don't want the chest bumping. I don't want a culture war. I want a clear-eyed celebration of how far we've come and how much more work actually remains. So Summerfest is going to pull off an amazing America 250th party. I feel that. It's going to be a welcoming Harley rider, first generation college student, military families, the skeptical Gen Z kid maybe. Like, everyone gathers for Summerfest already. It's already there. It says a lot about our country, bringing us all together. The 250th for Summerfest. As much as we can, let's keep politics out of it. The most important message we can send in 2026 is that we are a country all together right here on Milwaukee's lakefront. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Let's talk about a big move in our backyard that I don't think has gotten enough everyday conversation yet. Rockwell Automation's planned Factory of the Future in New Berlin. Rockwell, of course, headquartered right here in Milwaukee, has filed its zoning applications with the city of New Berlin for a new manufacturing campus just off of, just right off of Southmoreland Road between Grange and College. This isn't a small add-on, which is pretty amazing. It's a proposed 1 million square foot facility that could become Rockwell's largest manufacturing site in the world. The plant is part of Rockwell's broader 5-year, $2 billion investment in U.S. plants, including a bunch of new digital infrastructure and talent. So think advanced manufacturing, robotics, digital systems powered by AI, real-time analytics designed to showcase what modern manufacturing can look like when you really lean into technology. What's interesting, I think, and really important for the region, is that Rockwell could have put this anywhere. But they chose to double down on southeastern Wisconsin, citing our high-skilled area workforce, strong infrastructure, and just the culture of hard work and innovation that matches the kind of work that they want to do. And we are really in an era of where companies talk about a region for region approach, and they talk about supply chains. Like, this campus could become a bit of a statement that says you can build cutting edge, globally competitive manufacturing right here, not on the coasts, but right here in greater Milwaukee. But like any project, I just want to be mindful that, you know, there's still open questions, right? We don't have all the public numbers on total jobs and the precise construction timelines or the full incentive package. But we do know that this site has massive potential to anchor new opportunity, everything from engineering to tech roles to skilled trades and support services, all within a short drive of the city of Milwaukee, a place that needs more jobs, right? So as the zoning process plays out and details emerge, I think the real challenge for us as a community is this. How can we align the tech pipelines, the talent pipelines, our transportation planning, and our neighborhood conversations to actually capture the upside of a project like this? We got to be honest, of course, about traffic and land use and long-term impact. But if Rockwell is building a factory for the future in New Berlin, the question for the rest of us has to be, are we willing to build a region of the future around it? It's all connected. All right, from tech and talent, I need to talk a little bit about sandwiches. Yes, sandwiches. This is a show about community and how we eat and where we eat. My parents, I love my parents. They always say, like, when we're out to eat, like, where can we just go, Jeff, to get a good sandwich? And sometimes we think, all right, I don't know. Where is my favorite sandwich place? We're pretty blessed with a lot of wonderful chains in the area. We've got the reliable Cousins, Jersey Mike's. You know what you're going to get there. It's always consistent. It's easy. But that's kind of the faster food side of the sandwich chain. Today, I want to talk about something a little different. The local neighborhood spots. The places where the sandwich is just great. That sense of place, that sense of community is just as good, too. So recently, it was just a couple weekends ago, I was out with my parents. And again, my mom said, Jeff, where can we just go to get a good sandwich? I'm like, what do you mean, Mom? Like, where should we go? We ended up at City Market. There's a couple City Market locations in the area. There's one in Shorewood. There's one out in Wauwatosa by Children's Hospital. Really good. Really good sandwiches. But it made me think, I need a list. I need a list, Jaslyn, of the best sandwich places in the area Let me ask you first, where's your favorite sandwich in Milwaukee?
Well, there's a lot of types of sandwiches. And like a standard sandwich place, I'm like, well, I do enjoy Cousins. I've been to Chiba Hut and Bayview, and I realize they have a lot
Chiba
of locations
really,
around.
Yeah, Chiba Hut is really good.
I also, you know, now that I live in Walker's Point, I've been to Hen's Deli, and they make really great bagel sandwiches. They had a curry bagel. That was amazing. And then, like, I also live near Stenny's. Like, I know burgers are a type of sandwich, maybe not the kind of sandwich you're thinking of, but I think there are a lot of places, so...
All right.
Add those to your list, and you'll find something that's a little bit more specific.
I like it. Thank you, Jazz. So a few that I want to add to Jazlyn's list right there. Alley Boys, Walker's Point, and the East Side of Milwaukee. Amazing bagel shop. Great sandwiches, like serious sandwiches. Gloriosa's Italian Market on Brady Street. The roast beef. Milwaukee Italian. It is amazing, amazing stuff. You feel like you're in the middle of something that is decades in the making, which it is. Also, West Allis Cheese and Sausage Shop in West Allis, but also at the Milwaukee Public Market, makes a great sandwich. They're famous for this Cheesy Joe, but they have a whole lineup full of like rich meat and cheese-forward sandwiches that really lean into what sandwich is all about. Now, Kenosha, I don't want to leave you out of here. Kenosha has Tenuta's Deli on 52nd Street. Tenuta's is this classic Italian deli and market on 52nd Street with that old school no frills charm. The bomber subs, like roast beef and meatball and sausage and the combo, amazing stuff. Add it to your list. And then this is one, like, if you're downtown, you're like, where do I find the sandwich? I'm going to put this last spot as maybe a wild card. My go-to egg sandwich is the cafe at the Pfister Hotel. It's great. It's like less than like $6 too. So next time you're walking through the Pfister and you're like, I need a sandwich, like just go into the cafe, get this like $6 egg sandwich. They're amazing. A good sandwich isn't just about the bread and the meat. It's about the place and the people and the feeling that you get when you walk outside and you say, yeah, that's where I want to go for a good sandwich. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're joined in studio by one of Milwaukee's most, I'm going to say, recognizable voices. Can I say that, Sandy?
Aww, well, that's awfully kind.
Yeah, of course. So you all know Sandy Max from What's on Tap here on WTMJ. The great Sandy Max. We're going to talk a bit about her Skylight Music Theater stage walk-on role.
It's my debut.
This coming week. Yeah, your debut. It's super exciting. A Max experience. April 15th, 6:30 p.m., a rockin' Midsummer Night's Dream. It's not really your typical Shakespeare production, Sandy.
Not at all. There is nothing stuffy about Shakespeare, if that's what you think of when you think of the bard and ruffled collars and pantaloons and lots of these and thous that you don't understand. This is truly Shakespeare and sound. So a five-piece rock band will be on stage playing dozens of different songs to help tell the very mischievous comedic story of a Midsummer Night's Dream. If you remember, there are fairies in the forest. Puck,
yes,
the big troublemaking fairy, making the most trouble, mistaken identities, romances. So this is one of those Shakespeare plays that has a lot of laughs and a lot of energy. And then it's kicked up a notch by making it a musical.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be fun. And my walk-on role, I will not be singing.
Okay, all right. Oh, I'm bummed. Okay, I'm still going to come anyway, even though you're not singing, all right?
I'm so glad you're coming.
Yes.
Is it a
date
night?
I'm not sure yet. You know, we're juggling kids' stuff, too, but yeah, I want to be there for sure.
This is one of those kids are welcome.
Ooh, okay.
Because this is a Shakespeare for all ages and a really profound origin story of a rockin' Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
Is that Michael Unger, who's the artistic director at Skylight Music Theater, has been here for over a decade now. He was in Newtown, Connecticut when the Sandy Hook shooting tragedy happened.
All right.
And in 2013, he co-created this musical as a response to that for the survivors, for the students, the families, and the community to come together because theater can heal.
Yeah,
so you have kids who can come and audition and play on stage and express themselves and have feelings. And you have families who are proud of them and can show up and cheer them on stage and a whole community that can come see the show.
Yeah.
So that's how this show started. And this show wound up going to Parkland after that terrible shooting in Florida. And there were students who had performed in the original production who went to that production. So this is the first professional production of A Rockin' Midsummer Night's Dream. But I told Michael Unger, who also directed this production that we see on stage now at Skylight Music Theater, but I told him, honestly, if you did nothing else, if you stopped right now, what a legacy you've created by making Shakespeare even more fun and accessible for people, but also creating this opportunity to bring people together.
Well, in anchoring theater and arts and entertainment to current events, too. I mean, it's nothing new, but I think it's kind of what the audience wants now, right? I mean, when you look at the kind of the state of the local theater scene, like mirroring what's happening in the world to what's happening on stage makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and just also what's happening in the world can be confusing and exasperating and draining. So going to the theater together can be entertaining and distracting, whether you want jazz hands and live musicals or whether you want a more profound play that explores deeper thoughts and meanings like we have at different theater companies around Wisconsin. This is a theater can be a very powerful way to just sit and be present because it's live.
Yeah.
It's not recorded. It's in the moment and you are reacting in real time. And if you laugh, somebody else in front of you or behind you might laugh, too, because they're like, OK, I can have that permission to laugh. And somebody else thinks it's as funny or as sad or as amusing or as surprising as I do.
Yeah. So, Sandy, where can people get tickets and give us all the details about Wednesday's show?
I can even hook you up with a discount.
All right. I like it. I like it.
Code SANDY15, S-A-N-D-Y-1-5, SANDY15, because it's the April 15th Wednesday performance of A Rockin' Midsummer Night's Dream at Skylight Music Theater, skylightmusictheater.org, O-R-G, and they spell theater the French way with the R-E, but Skylight Music Theater. .org. But, you know, if you just search it, I've also got a Facebook event on my Sandy Max page and on the WTMJ Facebook page.
Very good.
I'd love to have you out because it will be a full evening experience. We're going to meet beforehand at 6:30 up in the Skylight Bar for cocktails, mocktails, beverages, socializing. Then Michael Unger, who I was just talking about, is going to give a pre-show talk. So you'll learn even more about the origin story and then what makes this production lively and special.
And you get even a deeper appreciation for all the hard work that goes into performances like this from so many different angles. So meet the people that are involved in our arts and entertainment scene. It helps create that sense of community, and that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, and then you get to see the full show. And you get to see my walk-on role as an Athenian. I go for my costume fitting on Tuesday, so I don't have anything to reveal. I did get to go to the costume shop and see Puck's pants.
They are very colorful.
They are what you want in the mystical fairy world. But this is really one of those Shakespeare shows that Michael Unger says, if you love Shakespeare, you're going to love this interpretation. And if you're kind of afraid of Shakespeare or think you don't like it, this is a Shakespeare show that you will enjoy. It's got rockin' in it.
All right. That's awesome. I love it. Sandy Max, A Rockin' Midsummer Night's Dream, a Max experience, April 15th, 6:30 p.m. I really appreciate your time, Sandy. Next time you come back, we're going to do a big deep dive into like the business and the community and kind of the state of the A&E scene in Milwaukee. You want to do that in the coming weeks?
I would love to. Yeah. There's a lot to talk about when you consider the renovations at the Milwaukee Rep and that they've hosted a summit and the UPAF campaign that's going on now and how essential all of that is and some of the other creative solutions that some of our other theaters and dance companies have come up with to continue to try to regain what they lost in 2020 with the COVID shutdown.
Very good. All right. Have fun. We'll see you there.
See thee there.